Good morning. Greetings to each one in the name of Jesus. It is good to be here and to be spending this time looking into the Word of God with you all and worshiping the Lord. At the beginning of a brand new year, as I often do at this time of the year, I thought I would talk a little bit about just that. Beginnings and endings. The end of 2021 and the start of 2022. If you're optimistic, you'll call it 2022. If you're pessimistic, you might call it 2022. Somebody told me that the other day, and I thought that's really funny because it's really the pessimistic outlook of expecting another frustrating year with lots of things that we might not like, but be that as it may. I'd like to begin with a verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12. And beginning in verse that I'm thinking about is verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails driven by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, again for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the beginnings of a new year. And thank you that we can spend this time here thinking about your word. And I pray that we would just once again see that this Bible that we have is words of wisdom that have been passed to us from you. And I pray that we would allow those words of wisdom to be doing its work in building us up into the people and also into the church that you desire to see, that would be able to do your work, to accomplish your purposes, and to bring glory to you as the one true shepherd. Thank you for your word and for your faithfulness, and I pray that you would guide us as we look to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So looking at this verse, I don't have my big stick along today like I did a while back when I talked about this verse. But I just wanted to bring it up again as a reminder of this verse. God's word is given to prod us in the right direction and also to build us up, line upon line, precept upon precept, to build us up into a building fitly framed together that brings glory to the builder. There are many books out there that we can read. We have the Bible. We have so many books that have so many good things, so much good advice. Many of them have lots of practical application for our life. Lots of good thinking and ideas. But we find here, when it comes down to the most important thing, God's Word tells us the most important thing is to fear God and to follow His direction for our life. Because someday our life, our actions, our deeds are going to be brought before the judgment seat, and we are not going to be judged based on a writer of some sort, of some good book that we read, but rather we are going to be judged based on the Word of God. So this verse, these words, are words that come from God, and they have come down through centuries. They are timeless, and they are proven effective. And just like goads and nails, which we hardly know how to use anymore, just like goads and nails, when all the new ideas and ways and technology, when they fail us, goads and nails are simple, basic, and effective. So the wisdom of God, written down and passed through the centuries, is not changed or made better by new books and ideas and customs. It is the only written wisdom that will not pass away. It is basic but all-encompassing. It is foolishness to the wise, but it is wise beyond human ability. It contains a solution to human nature. In fact, it contains the power of God to salvation. That's the word of God, the words of the wise, which is a message of God that is given to us. The goad, the word of God, is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The nails speak of a building fitly framed together, built by a master builder. I'm thinking, as we ponder the ending of a year, I thought of two different scriptures in the Old Testament, which are, they're very sad scriptures, but they are good for us to ponder. The first one is in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Jeremiah 8, verse 20, it says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." And he goes on and says, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Here, in this scripture, it talks about unneeded sickness. For some reason, there was unnecessary sickness, and I don't know if we read through this, it would talk about the wickedness and the evil that was going on. But we could look at it as unneeded sickness, fear, failure, frustration, pain. And there are solutions, but the solutions are not taken. And it is lamenting, the writer is lamenting a time that these things are still going on and the solution hasn't been taken advantage of, and now the time has run out. It's too late. It's not been taken advantage of. The ones who need it most are still in their state of sickness. Also in Judges chapter 18, I'll turn to that and read just a couple of verses there. Judges chapter 18. Verse 27. Judges 18, verse 27. It says, "They took the things which Micah had made and the priest which he had, and came to Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man, and yet it was in the valley that lieth by Beth Horeb." So there's just a couple verses that describe a city where the people were, they were enjoying life. Things were good. Crops were good. Their animals did good. They were quiet. They were secure. They had everything they needed, and they had no connections with cities and people around them for protection. And when difficulty came upon them, they had no outside connections that were able to help them and bring them security. So I see that as a people that, life was good. They were too busy enjoying life to think further on about what could happen and to make plans to establish more security. They were destroyed because the focus was on now, and they failed to look ahead. And that in itself is a sad story because it so often is what our human nature is like. When we're living the good life and enjoying life, we're prospering. What it feels like, we're prospering. We often don't stop to really think ahead about what maybe we should really be accomplishing. So if we think about the end of the year, the end of 2021, and we are now in the start of 2022, if you look at the end of last year, I would like to ask the question of all of us, are you happy? Are you happy with your year? Are you happy with what you accomplished? What are some blessings that you experienced last year? Anybody have anything they'd like to share? What are some blessings?
A closer walk with Jesus.
Amen. Anyone else? What was over here? Somebody said
a clear vision.
A clear vision. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. We were able to finalize the adoption of Zachary. That for us was a highlight of our year. Anybody want to share any disappointments or things that you wanted to get done but didn't get done? Anybody brave enough to do that? It's pretty easy to plan for the year, and I know we had different projects that we thought would be done by the end of the year, and they didn't get done, and it doesn't matter because we'll do it later. But what about things you really had determined that by the end of this year I'm going to, and maybe just got put off and didn't get taken care of? But as you think about your year, are you happy with how your year turned out? Did it end in a satisfying manner? How about your resolutions that you made a year ago? How'd those work out? How'd those pan out? Did you do what you knew you should do? Do you have unfinished work because you put it off and put it off and put it off, and all of a sudden you're at the end of the year and it's gone? And maybe there's unresolved frustration. Maybe there's failure and pain that should have gone to the great physician, but just somehow didn't get done, and now summer's ended, the year's passed, and here you are. Unresolved issues. We're human, it happens easily. And we can see again just from living through last year that almost everything in this life that has a beginning also has an end. And some people say that some of the excitement for them gets taken out of something new because they know it's going to end. There have been in the past years some pretty exciting beginnings. Jordan could probably tell us about some of that. There are new and exciting things that happen in a year. Marriage, maybe courtships begin, maybe a new job, new and exciting beginnings. I've had the blessing of several times over the past year holding a new baby. Hold that tiny brand new creature and see those perfect little fingers, feel them curl around your finger, the perfect little toes, perfect little ears, little cute button nose, just an amazing tiny new creature. Get to hold that new beginning. And I'll also walk past the casket, touched a wrinkled old cold hand that used to grasp my hand and would squeeze my hand with warmth and welcome and love. And I walked past the casket and touched that hand one last time and for farewell. So there's also endings. Every beginning in human life has an ending as we know it. And so the passing of time shows us that pretty clearly. You know, at that funeral, there was much sadness at the ending of a dear life, ending of a relationship. But it was also joyous in the knowledge of an unending beginning for my uncle. He passed into eternity, and there was an unending beginning for him, which we don't experience in this life, other than our relationship with God. That doesn't need to end. So this life holds many beginnings and endings. I went to the feed store just down the road here a few months ago. And as I walked in, I said hi to everybody, and the usual teary faces who would say hi and how you doing were very glum. There's a very glum atmosphere there, and it's very unusual. I looked around, and the black lab dog that's often there came over to be scratched, and so I scratched the dog's ears. And then they said the dog had just been to the vet, and they found out that the dog has cancer, and he's going to be put down. They were very sad. And I thought about that, and I kind of burst out and said, wouldn't life be so much easier if we didn't love anything? Just think of the pain that would be saved if we didn't love anything. And they thought about that, and they said, but yes, the sweetness would be gone as well. And I said, well, sad to lose something that's very dear, but when we come to the end, hopefully the pain that we experience reminds us to be thankful for the sweetness that we have enjoyed. And so all beginnings have an end. And what I'd like for us to think about is that while we are in what we enjoy and love and is exciting and pleasurable, I want us to think about that sometime it comes to an end, and we need to utilize the time that we have before we realize that the summer has ended, the year is over, and there's no time left. So while we have it, we need to think about utilizing it. And it is so true, all the joy would be gone, or a lot of the joy would be gone if there was no love, if there was no connection, if there was nothing that was dear to our heart. But then, our memories, and also the sadness of the loss, as it was at the funeral I attended, would stir up thankfulness for the joy that was had in the relationship, of the thankfulness, of the cheer, of the encouragement, of the giving and receiving, of richness and fullness enjoyed. And I say all that to say, while we are in it, we need to take the time to appreciate it. We have discussed in our family the question of adoption. Is it worth it? Is the excitement and the joy of adopting a family member worth the possibility of pain that could come? Lots of stories out there about people who have grown up knowing they were adopted, and they wanted to find out who their family was, and that family basically took them away. And so we talked about it. Is it worth the possible difficulties? Is it worth the possible pain? And there's lots of things in life like that that we can ask ourselves, is it worth the input? And so, when we give of ourselves in a relationship, we can know that relationships, people, lives, time, is all in this life is temporary and all ends. And so we need to live our lives now with the realization that it's going to get used up. And are we making use of it? So here we are on the second day of the year, right? This is January 2nd, I think. 2 days into it. 363 more days to worry about getting life straightened out before this year is up. If that's our attitude, guess what? You're going to find yourself in January 2nd, a year from now, not having done it. And one more year of your life used up. There is a song that many of you have heard me talk about. In German it says, Bedenke Mensch das Ende, bedenke deinem Tod, der Tod kommt oft behende der Heide frischen Rot. And to interpret that, anybody want to interpret that? When you speak in tongues, you're supposed to have an interpreter. Okay, nobody want to do it? All right, what it means is, think, O man, about your end. Think about your death. That death often comes very unexpectedly, even though today is rosy and fresh. Roughly translated. And so that is a reminder again that time is being used up. And we don't know when the end will be, and often it is unexpected. And so therefore, as we think about the fact the end is coming, we are better equipped to live life now. When we walk, when we live with the reality of an end, and we make the best use of today, then we are equipped to start a new year, even if it feels like it's going to be 2022 or 2020 also. Even though we know that it possibly could hold many frustrations, many restrictions, many things that we don't like, that in and of itself is not the most important thing about the coming year. And two things that I would like to talk about here just for a few minutes that I would like for us to consider as we go into this new year. Number one is our identity. Maybe what I should resolve to do for a New Year's resolution is actually learn how to spell. But anyway, my wife used to enjoy the letters I would write to her because it was really interesting to see what I would write and cross out and rewrite. So hopefully y'all get something out of that. Identity. What I would like for us to consider, one of the things going to into this year is our identity. And a scripture to go with that is in the book of Revelation in chapter 1. And verses 5 through 8. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. What is our identity? Our faith is what our identity needs to be built on. On our faith in the one who is and was and holds both the beginning and the end in his hands. The one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. We have little control over beginnings and endings, we have some control over that, I guess. But really, time goes on, and life moves along, and things begin and things end, and we don't have a lot of control of that. What better thing to do than to rest our very being in the hands of the one who is the beginning and the end, who holds the beginning and the end in his hands, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. That's who he is. What better place than to have our identity in that being? He has given us a new identity. We have gone from human, fleshly, corrupt beings to being kings and priests. That's amazing to have that identity and have that identity wrapped up in Jesus Christ. John chapter 16, verse 33 tells us that Jesus saying in his words, I have told you these things. Because in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but I have told you these things so that you can have peace. So, as bad as 2022 could be, when our identity is Jesus Christ, we can have peace, even though there might be some tribulation, some difficulty that can come along and bump us out of our comfort. When our identity is in Christ, our identity is secure and we can have peace. Our identity should never be built on anything that can be taken away. So easy to build our identity on things that can be taken away. Your children, your spouse, success in business, possessions, your friends, your relationships. So easy to have your identity be wrapped up in the things you have or the people you know, or the connections you have, or the success that you have experienced in material things. Very easy to have that be our identity as humans. But our identity should never be built on anything that can be taken away. And all those things of this life can be taken away. But who we are in Christ cannot ever be taken away by any outside force. Being kings and priests. When we look at that list there of spouse, children, success in business, possessions, friends, relationships, so on and so forth, when we look at those things, all of those things can bring us failure, frustration, pain, separation. All of those things and more are possibilities here when you look at that list. And when those things, when we experience pain, separation, frustration, and failure in any of those things, pain and failure cries out and begs us and others to look at how bad our experience is, how bad these things are. Failure and pain cry out for attention to be given to how bad the situation is. Faith says, look at the one who can. Look at Christ. That's my possibility. Look at Christ. That's my security. Look at the one who encompasses all beginnings and ends. When our identity is built on faith in Jesus Christ, even though there is a failure, even though there is a frustration, the identity of faith says, look at my possibility. Look at my enabler. That is Jesus Christ. So that's identity. Let's think about our identity and what that is built on as we go into the year. And even though there may be some frustrations and failures, build your identity on Jesus Christ and let him enable you to be an overcomer. And number two, I'm going to put a burden on you. The burden of grace. And you might say, wait, why the burden of grace? Isn't grace free, even though I don't deserve it, given to me freely as a free gift? Yes, it is. Who can quote John 3:16?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. That's grace. All right, 1 John 3:16. Who can quote that one? First John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That is what I call the burden of grace. The responsibility that grace puts into our lives. 1 John chapter 4. Let's see. Herein is love, verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The burden of grace. There was a number of years ago a man who I was acquainted with. He died in a logging accident about 3 years ago. But one day he came to me and he said, Melvin, my son is in jail and I really don't think he deserves to be in there. I'd like to bail him out, but I don't have the money. Can you please loan me the money to bail him out of jail? And I didn't really feel like it was my responsibility to make the difference for his mistakes, but I guess considering last Sunday's sermon, I'm glad now that I gave him the money. So I gave him the money, and he got his son out of jail. And within a few days, this man showed up at the mill with his son. I'd never met his son before, and he brought his son into where I was working. And he said to his son, you come over here and you give this man a big hug. And his son kind of went, are you serious? And he said, yes, this man here is the reason that you're out of jail. And he said, come over here. And he wrapped us both up in a huge bear hug. And he said to his son, he said, now you have a responsibility to this man to do good. It's because you actually have an opportunity now. You're out of jail. You have a responsibility to this man to do good. And I thought of that quite often. The other day, I went for a drive over to Vermont to pick up a piece of equipment, and I started kind of early in the morning. I was going down the road and in a string of traffic, and the sheriff sitting in a driveway there, and didn't think much about it. And pretty soon I realized there was flashing lights in my mirror, and I was like, oh, I need to get out of his way. Phew, pulled over, and guess what? He didn't want to go around me. He wanted me to stop. And so he came up to the truck, and he said, hi, how you doing? What you up to today? And chatted a little bit. And well, it ended up that I had three things wrong. There was two that surprised me. The third one, I couldn't act surprised about because I knew about it, because it'd been a while, and because of other difficulties, just didn't get it taken care of. And so he asked for the registration of my driver's license, and he took that, went back, and I was sitting there scratching my head thinking, you know, he could make me park this thing and have it towed and it would serve me right, really, because there really was no excuse. And so I was sitting there thinking about my day and the order of my week being messed up if that actually happened, but oh well, my fault. And he comes back and he says, here's your information. And he said, this is a warning. Get these three things taken care of. Have a good day. And I was more convicted than I would have been if he'd have done what he rightfully could have done. And it was like, you know what? I am going to be guilty until I get that taken care of. And that is the burden of grace, where I didn't deserve that. He had no, there was no reason. Nobody said he had to be nice to me, but I didn't deserve that. And so, but that put a burden on me, and I'm gonna make steps to make sure that's taken care of, because I would hate to meet up with him again and have him realize he was that nice to me, I didn't do anything. We speak grace into other people's lives, and it is much like God saying to me, when we recognize who we are, we recognize who God is. When God says to us, God says to me, when God says to you, you are my son. You are my son. If we really understand the full implication of what that is, that puts a burden on us to act like it. When we really understand the sacrifice that was made so that we could be called kings and priests, to be called sons and daughters of God, that puts a burden on us to act like it. And so going into this year, I'd like for us to carry the burden of grace, to understand that we have been given an amazing gift that we in no way could have gotten on our own merit. God has given it to us, and because of that gift, we now have a responsibility. You all might know what this is like when someone you respect and look up to gives you a compliment. Doesn't that, even though maybe you don't feel like you really deserve it, doesn't that make you want to prove it that you can? It does that to me. There are times that people have thanked me, and yes, I get thanked quite often. There are times that people have thanked me for what I realized to my shame was just kind of half or three-quarter hearted efforts. I was ashamed because, you know what, I didn't do the best that I could have. And I think as we communicate positively to each other, we, in the same way, put a burden of grace on each other. We can communicate that to each other. We can communicate grace, appreciation, and care to each other in a way that I believe puts a burden on us, a burden of expectation, a burden of trying, a burden of making an effort, maybe a little bit of guilt when our efforts have been sort of half-hearted and not really with it. We speak grace into each other's lives much in the same way as God does when he says, you are my son. And so, let's think about that. If God so loved us, we should love each other. We should love others. We should care for others. So I will end with that. Actually, I'll go to Romans chapter 12 here and quickly read another verse or two. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. There again, the burden of grace. When we realize what God has done for us, we realize that it is but reasonable for us. It is a reasonable expectation for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, and that is the burden of grace. So as we go into this year, I am not judging any of you by successes or failures. Let's let God do that. But as we go into the year, let's think about what is our identity, and are we carrying the burden of grace that God puts upon us?